إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my brothers, I want to remind myself and you about one of the most serious of the illnesses of the heart, which is the hardness of the heart. The hadith narrated the saying of Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, he said, the sign of the hardness of the heart is the dryness of the eyes. Eyes that do not weep for the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm talking about tears that come spontaneously due to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the fear and glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not talking about crying to show people that is riya. I'm talking about tears that come in the night when you stand in tahajjud, or at any time of the day or night when we think and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these tears are a sign that something is happening to the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this as a sign of the believers, where He said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Allah said, the mu'mineen are the people whose hearts shiver with the fear and majesty and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So something happening to the heart, a heart which is alive, a heart which is dynamic and which feels, this is a sign of the health of the heart, and it is a sign of iman. And that's why we need to reflect and ask ourselves this question and say, what condition is my heart in? Because if we don't have that, then it means the heart is dead. The heart is completely dead. Somebody sent me the other day a video of from the haram of Shaykh Saud al-Shuraim, who is leading Salah. And in Surah al-Fatiha, the man cried so much that he almost could not complete the Surah. And then eventually, of course, he completed the Surah. Now, if you think about it, Surah al-Fatiha we recite in every, without Surah al-Fatiha there is no Salah. So every Salah, every Rakat we recite Surah al-Fatiha. How many of us have actually cried reciting Surah al-Fatiha? It's not a question of crying for the sake of crying. He's also not doing that, right? And he does not cry every time he recites Surah al-Fatiha. It's a question of what thoughts were in his mind at that time, what connection was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is leading the salah of hundreds of thousands of people before the Kaaba. This is a different issue, but I'm saying that you don't have to be the Imam of Haram for Surah al-Fatiha to have an effect on us. Right? When you say Maliki Yawmiddin, what is happening to us in our heart? Just think about this. The thing is that we have gotten used to reading the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without understanding, even when we know the meaning. I mean, how many of us today don't know the meaning of Surah al-Fatiha? Almost everybody knows. We may not understand Arabic, but things like Surah al-Fatiha, Surah al-Ikhlas and so on, we all know the meaning of these. But even though we know the meaning of these surahs, what does it do to us? I'm talking about myself. Nothing. It's a recitation. At the most, you concentrate on tajweed. You know, am I pronouncing the swad properly? Am I pronouncing the seen properly? Maximum. That's it. Okay. So, concentrate on tajweed. Khalas. But that is not the point of the Surah al-Fatiha. Surah al-Fatiha Rasulullah ﷺ in the hadith, he said, this is the Ummul Quran. He said, this is the mother of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, these are the seven repeated ayat, and this is one of the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to me. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya said, Surah al-Fatiha is tawbah. Every time the slave recites Surah al-Fatiha, he is making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not automatically. Tawbah has to be done consciously. So when you are reciting Surah al-Fatiha, you concentrate on the meanings of the surah, and you understand how it is tawbah. When he is saying, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, he is making tawbah from all those actions which attract the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he is saying, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, he is making tawbah from all forms of misguidance. Actually, himself. So, therefore, the issue is to say what happens to the heart and does anything happen to the heart. And that's why I said the hardness of the heart, where nothing happens to the heart. The heart is like a rock. Absolutely nothing happens to it. And no compassion, no kindness, no, doesn't feel sad, doesn't feel happy. It's like a stone in the heart. Right? It's like a, so, the point is that if that is the case, so, whole point of these Fajr reminders is not simply to listen and go away, but to listen and reflect and then reflect on yourself and think about yourself and then take some steps. If you find that any of these symptoms that I have described that you find these symptoms in yourself, then do something to change that. Because the whole point of listening to these reminders is for what? Is to bring about some good, right? It's not just to listen and go away. So therefore, let us think about this issue of hardness of the heart. And what do you and I need to do in order to cure it? Now, why does it happen? To think about that. Hardness of the heart is a result of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more and more we disobey Allah, the harder and harder the heart becomes. Because when a person is disobeying Allah, he knows there is Allah. I'm not talking about people who are atheists, who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence, or people who are mushrikeen, who are worshipping something other than. I'm talking about Muslims. We begin by saying, La ilaha illallah. Right? Why is Muhammadur Rasulullah immediately after La ilaha illallah? La ilaha illallah is the acceptance of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acceptance of His of the fact that only He is worthy of worship. And then we say Muhammadur Rasulullah, why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his seerah is the epitome of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the minute you say La ilaha illallah, I accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there and I accept that He is worthy of worship, then what do? I say Muhammadur Rasulullah, meaning that I am a ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and therefore I will live my life the way he used to live his life. This kalima is a proof, is an assertion of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can a person say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and then disobey Allah? How is it possible? Because you just stated, you just made this claim, you just made this promise, this covenant to say that I accept Allah and I will obey Allah. Then you disobey Allah. This is a senseless thing. I mean, how is it possible? Right? I mean, something happening by mistake is a different matter. Something happening, one day, somehow, that's... I'm talking about deliberate disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowingly that something is wrong. Knowing that something is haram. Knowing that something we should not do and then we do it. So therefore, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hardens the heart. Please let me remind myself anew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghayur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking and is not requesting for our obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a hukum. Ittaqullah. Allah is saying, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, Allah is not saying, please, can you kindly obey me? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a hukum. Aqimus salah. Allah says, establish the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla wa ala, He is not asking for, He does not need our obedience. He does not need our ita'at. He does not need our salah. He does not need, He has given this thing to us as the greatest and most beautiful gift from Him, that He has given us the opportunity and the permission to come into His presence anytime we wish. So when we don't do this, when we deliberately disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially with things like salah, which leads to kufr, this leads to the hardness of the heart. And again, I'm not going to make a list of the many ways in which we disobey Allah. It is for each one of us to reflect in our own lives and see where and how we are disobeying Allah. But do remember this, that irrespective of whatever the specific form in which we are disobeying Allah, every disobedience leads to the hardening of the heart. So how do you change this? What is the cure for the hardening of the heart? The cure for the hardening of the heart is to remember your death. Is to remember that one day I will die. Seriously sit down and think and say, one day I will die. And how many reminders of this do we need? Subhanallah. How many reminders do we need? Year after year passes, day after day passes, we go and attend the Salatul Janazah, Janaiz of so many people, we go and take them and put them into their graves, and yet we do not remember and we do not remind ourselves that one day I am the one who is going to be carried on the shoulders of other people, and I am the one who is going to be put into a hole in the ground, and I am the one on whose face mud is going to be thrown. And then those people who loved me and who respected me and who honored me and so on, they may say many good things about me, but not a single one of them will come and lie down by my side in the grave. And even if he came and laid down by my side, it was not going to help me. I mean, I am in that hole in the ground by myself. And that is the thing. The key thing is to remember our death. To remember that one day, all of this which we have, whether it is good or bad, whether it is enjoyable or painful, irrespective, no matter how much wealth we have, it will finish. We have to leave it. No matter how much pain and suffering we might be in, that will end. After that, a life will begin which has no end. And if that life is good, alhamdulillah. But if that life is not good, then there is nobody who can change that and there is nobody who can help. To remember this. That is the reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the most intelligent one among you is the one who remembers his death most often. That is the key. So, hardness of the heart causes disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the cure is to remember our death. And that is why the following of the sunnah is so important. Because every time we follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why am I doing something? Because this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the series of Jummah khutbahs also which are going on are all on this issue of following of the sunnah. Tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq is following of the sunnah. Simple thing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you wear your slippers, he said, shake them out. Right? Now you can give a logical reason for this, maybe there is an insect, maybe there is something inside, maybe there is a snake or maybe there is a scorpion and if you shake it out, it falls away. Otherwise, if you put your foot into the shoe, it might bite you. All of these logical explanations, fine, no problem. Maybe there is, maybe there is not. Maybe you live in such a beautiful sanitized environment that there is no question of any snake or any scorpion ever being in your shoes. After all, we have lived all these years. How many times were you bitten by a scorpion in your shoe? Never happened. Alhamdulillah. May Allah keep us protected. So why are you doing it? You're not doing it because there is a scorpion. You're doing it because this is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because then the wearing of the shoe will become ibadah. Because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will actually give you hasanat, will give you good deeds for wearing that shoe, which you would have worn anyway. What is the beauty of the sunnah? The sunnah makes that action, which you would have done anyway, into an action of ibadah. If this also does not motivate us, then I don't know what is there to motivate. Allah knows best. Any action, normal thing which you would have done anyhow. You would have eaten your food anyway, but you eat it keeping in mind the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Eating of the food becomes ibadah. Does that take away the enjoyment from the mango? No. The mango is still as sweet or whatever you're eating is still as nice as it was. But that food becomes ibadah. Eating of the food becomes ibadah. And so on for everything. Again, I'm not making a list of things, but I'm saying that just think about this. And why is it? Because it reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, we cannot, if you're following the sunnah, look at this, the beauty of the sunnah is, the sunnah protects us from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is no way that you can disobey Allah according to the sunnah. Think about this. The sunnah is automatic protection against disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is no way in which one can disobey Allah according to the sunnah. This is an oxymoron. There is no way that can be done. You can't disobey Allah. Because if it is according to the sunnah, automatically it is obedience of Allah. If it is disobedience of Allah, then automatically it is against the sunnah. One cannot drink alcohol according to the sunnah. What is the sunnah of smoking cigarettes? What is the sunnah of fornication? Na'udhu billah. I am just saying that if somebody wants to do this. So the sunnah is protection from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Automatically. The moment a person says, I will follow the sunnah, automatically he is saying, I will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no way in which one can disobey Allah while following the sunnah. This is the beauty of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the issue of the, and if you do that, the hardness of the heart goes away. Heart becomes soft. Heart becomes responsive. Heart comes alive. It is not a dead piece of flesh in the chest. It is something which is alive and which is responsive to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remind myself and you, therefore, let us concentrate on the heart, because the qalbun salim is what is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Heart which is soft, heart which is responsive, is what is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rest of it is junk. So let us try to concentrate on this and see how can I make my heart soft. So recitation of the Quran, thinking about our death, reflecting on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflecting on the fact that one day we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking forward to that meeting, because that is the most beautiful day and that is the most beautiful meeting of our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this. I ask Allah to make the last of our actions the best of our actions, and the last of our days the best of our days. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika.